The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the holy name of Jesus.
Amen.
Acts 43 paints an idyllic picture of the early church. With great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Giving testimony to the resurrection with great power and living in great grace. What a glorious picture of the life that we have within the body of Christ. At the same time, John reminds us in today's gospel that we do not always find ourselves living with that same power and grace. Instead, we witness the inversion of these ideals. We see the disciples gracelessly hiding from the Jewish religious leaders behind locked doors. We hear the power of Thomas's demand for proof of Jesus' resurrection. Thomas's famous expectation that he needs to see and to touch Jesus in order to believe. Perhaps that provides one possible explanation for why some people refer to today as a low Sunday. The high of Christ's resurrection is in our rearview mirror. We leave the brilliance and the wonder of the divine service on Easter and return to a world that stuns us with its brokenness, its loss, and its longings. We, like Thomas, see ourselves as living in a world devoid of grace, a world that has become overcome with the power of doubt. And Thomas's doubt haunts our imagination. How can one of Jesus' disciples display this kind of incredulity, this depth of distrust? We find it sobering to realize that one of the closest disciples to Jesus can somehow be pulled into the shadows of despair. This despair can take the form of a dangerous duality that John describes today in 1 John verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Thomas returns to this darkness of doubt, and the disciples trembling behind closed doors is a life in the shadows of fear. And today, similarly, we realize that their wounds are our wounds. Just 8 days removed from the Easter Vigil, we find ourselves walking in the same kind of darkness. It may be a darkness of our own creation. We've been unkind, we've been unloving, we've been ungrateful to those that the Lord brings into our lives. And it may be a darkness brought to our lives by others. Others have hurt us, they have betrayed us, they have tried to destroy us. In that darkness, we likely realize that we can't find our own way out. We know that we have irreparably marred our lives. The evil in this world seems to have an unbreakable hold on us, and God's grace seems hopelessly far away. Every good thing we possess is stained by sin. It is touched by mortality. We have turned our lives to dust, and in shame and anger, we're tempted to succumb to believe the devil's lie that our Lord Jesus has failed us and abandoned us to the eternal gloom of death and damnation. The devil tries to convince us that we are locked in a dim, dull, chaotic world with no room at all for God's goodness or his grace. But our Lord Jesus is not one to respect the boundaries that the devil or we create. At Christmas, our Lord rends the heavens wide open. He takes on human flesh, and he comes down to live among us. Throughout his earthly life, he fulfills God's law because we never could, and dies the death. He dies the death that washes away our transgressions. And after his death, he bursts through the gates of hell and shows himself to be the Lord of death and the Lord of life. And today we are reminded how Jesus came through locked doors and burst into the disciples' darkness to bring life. By bringing his mercy and peace and grace to the disciples and to Thomas, he establishes the pattern of how he lives out his resurrection, how he lives out his grace in our lives today. Today, our Lord reminds us that our lives testify to the power of his resurrection as an ongoing, life-changing, and life-giving reality. Just as Jesus firmly grabbed Thomas by the wrist and pulled his dirty fingers into his wounded side as a way to cure Thomas's doubt, he continually shows us his own wounds in order to heal our wounds. Our Lord Jesus daily pulls us to the baptismal font, where he washes us in those very wounds and cleanses us from the filth of our unrighteousness. Every time we make the sign of the cross, he reminds us how his wounded hands reshape and rename us in his mercy and his grace. Today, our Lord gently also leads us to his altar, where he invites us to receive his body and blood, his soul and divinity. We may not see Jesus as Thomas did, and yet at the altar, each of us in faith joins Thomas and the church on earth and all the company of heaven and meets our Lord in his wounds. Here we can confess with confidence that our Lord and our God has come in power and grace to feed us the medicine of immortality. We should not be surprised that the Sunday after Easter feels a bit anticlimactic. The devil, the world, and our sinful flesh will do everything in their power to mute the blessings of our Lord's resurrection for our lives. They will relentlessly pull us back toward doubt and darkness. But he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. He has bathed us in this baptismal flood. He feeds us the food of angels. He rescues us from a life of darkness and restores to us a joy in the great light of his love. And from that perspective, we cannot really call today a low Sunday. Jesus lives. Jesus overcomes our fears and our doubts. That fact gives the body of Christ its highest calling. This same calling inspired the Apostle John, the only member of the 12 who was not martyred, as he carried the gospel to Asia Minor, as he endured a very difficult exile on the island of Patmos. And in a similar way, the Holy Spirit bestows on us, his church, the power and grace to force our way into the darkness of this world and to proclaim the victorious message that our Lord Jesus' worst-kept secret is this: his death heals our wounds. His resurrection restores all things. Our life in him makes our joy complete. In the holy name of Jesus.
Amen.